This is a Defocus Media production.
Okay, yeah, so we'll get started. I want to introduce everybody first, okay? Okay. So, yeah, thanks for coming on. We have Rachel here. She's Rachel, the YouTuber on Instagram. We have Dr. Sony, who goes by Dr. JD. He's from Arizona College of Optometry, and he's a doctor now who practices in Bakersfield. Rachel actually goes to an optometry school at Southern California College of Optometry. She's a first-year student. She just took her first midterm today. Mm-hmm. And she's been interning at my practice since she was 11 years old. And she's over 20 now, but she's wanted to be a doctor for a long time.
That's great.
So we wanted to include her today because she's actually helped at some events that we've hosted with Vince at my practice. Rachel's volunteered and helped out before events. So she has some pictures with you when we were at the office before, too.
Good job.
So she knows you. Yeah. So, and then we have guests, Vince Ferragamo, who took time out of his day to do this for us. He's a Super Bowl 14 quarterback for the Rams. He works for Fox Sports or Fox, NFL on Fox, I think, on Fox 11. You'll see him on TV on Saturdays and Sundays, a lot of times on the weekends during football season. And he also runs Touchdown Real Estate. And that's in Anaheim Hills. And he also has a cool winery at his house that, great wine. So that's Vince right here, one of our good friends. And we'll start with a few questions for you, Vince, about the eyes. So my first question, I've been seeing Vince for his eyes for about 10 years, I think. And he wears contacts, glasses. But my question for Vince is, during your football career, Vince, because I didn't know you back then, did you wear contacts on the field as a quarterback for the Rams?
Well, Alex, you kind of know my eyes better than anybody else because you've looked into them enough. But I really, I think dating back to when I was in high school, I wore glasses. And then when I started to play football as a 10th grader, I noticed that I should probably wear contacts. And at that time, they were hard lenses. They didn't have the soft lenses back in those days. So, I tried wearing the hard lenses, which was great for me because you had no obstruction with putting the helmet on. So you had the face mask and you had your helmet and your eyes were fine. So, but I do recall one time at one of my games as a sophomore, I got one of them popped out in the San Pedro game. And I was playing with one eye. Actually, I could only see with one eye, but I still threw a touchdown pass with one eye, just closed the other eye and just threw it. But that was the problem back in those days because, any type of quick, sudden movement with your eyes, and then when you got imploded or you got hit, then, the lens might pop out. But with the new soft lenses that I wore through college football and through pros, I didn't have that problem. So, but yeah, I've been wearing them for a long time, Alex, since high school. And that was back in the early 70s.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. And so another question about eyes and this is an interesting one about optometry school. So I remember in 1999, when I first started at the College of Optometry, one of our first slides for practice management was a slide about famous people who have gone to the optometry college in Fullerton. And your name showed up. I still remember that from 1999. And another student from, I think, 2000, about 5 years ago, she showed me the slide. They still show that slide every fall quarter. Vince Ferragamo went to our school. And so can you tell us a little bit about how that happened? Because obviously you did very well in real estate, obviously, but then your optometry school experience too.
Well, that's a good memory, Alex, because it goes back a long time, back in the 80s. I actually, after the Super Bowl game, I was attending medical school at Creighton University back in Omaha. Mm-hmm. So I was doing that for 1 year. And then in the second year, it just became to be too difficult to the transition going back and forth. So I tried to think of another field that I could study in the off seasons during the football season. And the third year we went to the Super Bowl. So that pretty much disappeared. But I did attend the Southern California College of Optometry. I was admitted there, and I attended one semester in the winter quarter, which was a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought this might be something for a future when I'm done with football. But as things turned out, I did make a career in professional football, so I ended up playing 10 years, and which was good for me. And then when I retired, of course, I got into the real estate and never got back to the medical field. So, but so thanks for remembering. But, I am one of your – I didn't graduate, but I am one – I was a former student there, yes.
And what year was that, Vince, when you went there?
That I think that was in 1980 or 1981, I believe.
Oh, so it was right after the Super Bowl then.
Right during – either before or after the Super Bowl, yeah.
So that's really cool.
What made you play in the Super Bowl and then think, hey, I want to learn more about eyes?
I should have. I think, you know, because vision is such a major – plays such a major role in for a quarterback to be able to see the field and to be able to interpret what you see and then apply that to, you know, what your reaction and what you're going to do with the football. So, but having good vision is a big part of it, Dr. JD. And so you really have to be prepared for that. And, but, you know, I think that was always something that interested me because ever since I was a young kid, I had problem with my vision. I couldn't see very good. I had to wear glasses, and it's a good thing I was checked at an early age because I would have maybe went through a lot of schooling with not very good vision, and so it might have hampered my academics. But yeah, as it turned out, we were lucky for contact lenses because contact lenses are a great thing. But you see a lot of great NFL players that have played in the NFL with glasses. One of them that comes out to mind was one of my former teammates is a Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. He wore glasses.
Right there.
There he is right above me. And so, you know, Eric just was fine with the glasses. I mean, but he was a super athlete, just a great running back.
He still wears glasses. He has a large collection of them still. Yeah. So,
That's so interesting because especially as a quarterback, right, when you're in the pocket, if you don't have good central vision or even good peripheral vision, if someone's coming at you from the sides and they're trying to sack you, I mean, you have like 6-7 seconds max to get the ball to your hands, right?
Probably a lot less than that, JD. you really the timing of the throw. If you have 3 to 4 seconds, that's a long time. Usually, a lot of our stuff is done in a time rhythm kind of throw. So you get back in the pocket and you let the ball go because I think you run a big risk to stay in the pocket too long with the talent that they have coming in. And you know, you pay a lot of guys a lot of money to sack the quarterback. So that's they're driven to do that, and they're bearing in on you. So you got to get rid of it. But today's football is a little different than when I grew up because it's not so much a pocket passer as much as it's a moving pocket now. And so it does afford the quarterback the ability to move around a little bit and to make some runs to, you know, as we saw last year with the Ravens. And they did such a great job with that, but they, you know, it's kind of a thing of the future, you know, but still vision is still a big part of it. You really have to be able to see and be able to interpret really quickly. Yeah.
Right. Like nowadays, so many players, if they get concussions or they're injured, they do certain tests, and we know sometimes vision can be lost or there can be visual issues. And like you were kind of hitting on the rule changes back in the day, there were so many more, you could be so much more physical, right? Nowadays, they really want to protect the quarterback. And have you heard any stories of anybody, maybe you or anybody else, with any vision issues, maybe in the middle of the game after getting hit so hard or anything along those lines?
Well, concussions was always a big dilemma for football because when I first started playing, you could hit legally someone in the helmet to helmet, or use your fist or use your hand. And the use of the helmet and the head has become less magnified in the last few years because of the concussion problems. But we find out that in an early age, if kids are playing tackle football at, say, an age of less than 12 years old, the chances of them developing problems down the road are far greater than if they decided not to play and then played later. So the impact that a younger child would have when he gets hit in the head seems to have more damage, you know, for future players. So, but yes, if you do get hit in the head back in those days, not only would it distort your vision, but it would distort you would be knocked out pretty much a lot of times. And you'd be incoherent, or you would lose your balance. You might get upset, you know, you might have some, some memory loss, you know, but I think, you know, they've really resolved a lot more of that in recent years. Now it's not as a glaring of a problem because you cannot hit players and with the use of a lethal helmet. You have to really protect the quarterback in the pocket or protect running backs and protect wide receivers. I mean, they can't hit an unprotected wide receiver, you know, blindside. So I think those are good for the game and good for the sport.
Good one. Rachel, do you have a question, Rachel?
Yeah, sure. So football being such a team sport, how would you define the relationships you built during your football career?
Well, that's a good question, Rachel, because I think, you know, football is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. So you're only as good as the people around you. And I had the great privilege of playing in a Super Bowl with a great team. And we not only had a great offense, we had a great offensive line, which a quarterback really loves to have when you're back there and you're well protected. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's like having a padded pocketbook in your back. So you're in good shape. But defensively, we were very strong. The Rams have always been a very good defensive team over the years traditionally. And so, but being as a team, I think there's a lot more to be gained from team sport because when you win, everyone wins and everyone is satisfied. And it's even more, I think it's more fulfilling for a player when you have everybody can enjoy a victory. And then when you lose, I mean, it's generally not one person's fault. I mean, great teams always don't ever put the blame on one person. They always use it as, well, we could have done better. You know, we could have been better. I could have been better at this, or we could have been better at that. So the great teams are teams that have the contributory focus from everybody in the entire squad, that everybody has a job and everybody contributes to the final result. And when you do that, you get more than 100% benefit. You get 110%. So it really does make a big difference. And it's more gratifying to help others too as well. And you not only helping yourself, but you're helping others achieve greatness. And but it's all done as a team, collectively as a team.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I also want to add to that, Vince, you also have, even after your playing career, you work with a lot of your former teammates and Rams players like Leroy and a few other people, right, at the real estate business.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we still kind of focus, you know, our business around a team concept, you know, because in the real estate business, you know, it requires a lot of detailed work, a lot of research, a lot of partnership. And the closer you are to your clients through your affiliations and through the other companies that support you as well. We have escrow. There's escrow is a big part of all transactions. There's the title company. There's insurance. There's the lender. And so everybody needs to play, be part of the team to get to accomplish their goal, which is to close the sale of the home. Yeah. So it's vital. And, you know, in our office, we have great teamwork. No one's in it for themselves. If we get, some business comes our way, we all try to satisfy the client because the client's needs are at the foremost of what we do. Obviously, you're in business to, you know, to make money as well and be and have a good business platform, but you're also in the business to helping people, and that's kind of where it all stems from. Help people find their first home, or you know, maybe it's a second home, or refinance, save them money every month. So it's gratifying to be involved in the business we're in. Most definitely.
No way.
That's so cool to see, because if I had to give a parallel for our listeners, we're all in the optometry eye field. And I've seen some people in our field, for example, after you go to 4 years of school, you kind of get relaxed. And some people, they say, hey, I'm just going to practice. And that's kind of it. I'm just going to live my life. But for you, like, you went through the Super Bowl, you played in the NFL, but it wasn't like a, hey, I'm just going to be content. It's like, I'm going to keep working hard. I'm going to, you know, start a company. I'm going to get into wine, maybe start a nonprofit. Like, what was your motivation to just keep pushing?
Good question, JD, because I think it's just the respect that as a kid growing up, you know, from my Italian parents and my background, I was always taught to, you know, respect the other person, respect your parents. And then when you get respect your elders, You know, when you have Sunday meals at the home, everyone comes together, it's fun, you enjoy it. And then when you meet new people, you know, when you go to someone's house, you respect their home, you sit there and don't make a mess, you know. So I think, you know, I think a lot of that stems from the fact that when I was a young kid, you know, I learned that at an early age. And so, you know, I think it's real important to be able to have that respect and to go on and do other things for other people. And so we started a foundation. We started the Vince Ferragamo Foundation, where we help Special Olympics. A guy came to me when I was playing football, and his name was Ed Chevalier. He had a daughter who was a Down syndrome girl, and they were involved in the Special Olympics. And he said, "Hey, do you mind helping the kids? And we're going to do a little event." And I said, "Sure, I'll help you, Ed." And, you know, one thing led to another. The tournament came a huge success locally in Southern California. It was the biggest fundraiser for Orange County Special Olympics. For 30 years, we did that. We also supported other programs. My wife has done a lot of work with breast cancer with the Orange Coast Memorial down in Fountain Valley. And they developed a wing of the breast ward, the breast cancer ward, and named it after the thanks for the Vince Ferragamo Foundation. And she did a lot of work to help them over the years. And so, you know, it's almost like giving back, you know. And so, I mean, you have to live and you have to do some kind of work. But, you know, I just think that, you know, what propelled me was maybe sports and the team concept, as Rachel asked me, and, you know, just being involved in the community. And then once that happened, you know, I think more people could relate to that and just, you know, shed a good light on the world. And I think we need to see more of that in today's, you know, today's times, because a lot of people are looking at a lot of different things the wrong way. So I think it's, you know, we're all in this together. So we all have to support one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's amazing that you do that and that your motivation is to help others. I think even Dr. Corbin, you do often help other people with vision screenings, things along those lines, right?
Yeah. We all do. Yeah. Well,
that's Rachel does too. Yeah. A motivation for you, right? And I think other people in our field, if we can apply that concept from you to our field.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I've known Alex. He's done a lot of great things for a lot of people. And, you know, it's not really what you can do for me, but more what I can do for you. Mm-hmm. And I think Alex has that in his heart. And so that's why we're friends, because I think, you know, we were attracted to one another that way. And I think he's using his knowledge and his professional career to help others, you know, by helping them see better and, you know, I mean, give them the right information and give them the right correction. So, I mean, I think, yeah, it really stems first of all, you want to help people. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can also make a living doing the same thing.
But it feels good to make people better as a person too. It's not just their vision, right. It's also helping kids in the community. Because Vince and I have done, you know, going to schools, talking to kids, reading to kids. Those are things that make an impact for the rest of their lives with these kids, and they'll never forget it. It may inspire them to be a football player, an eye doctor, or, you know, something else. So we want to make the world a better place, not just see better, but, you know, enhance everything else in their lives too. So yeah, we work well together many years now. It's been great.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
we're prime examples of him helping us out, right, Rachel?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here. So
Rachel was one of the kids that was, you know, she was our patient since she was 7 years old. You know, she worked her way up. At 11 years old, she decides she wants to be an eye doctor. And look at her now. I mean, you know, what, 10 years later, 11 years later, I mean, she's taking midterms at the optometry school Vince went to, right? Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it without people like you and Dr. Liu being able to help us and bring us up in the profession.
Well, that's great of you, Rachel, because I've had three daughters of my own. And my oldest daughter always had a dream to be a doctor, even when she was a young kid like you. Mm-hmm. She always wore her grubs and, you know, she would wear her suit and have a stethoscope around her neck. And, mm-hmm. So she grew up with that, and that was her aspirations. Obviously, she did get married later, but she ended up going to Vanderbilt and then went to medical school. And so we were real proud of her, but she never gave up her dream, you know, and her dream was to become a doctor. That's what she wanted to do from ever since she was a young kid. And so, and she's still driven that way today. She's not only a good mom, but she's also a good doctor, and she pays attention, and she's very dedicated to her field. And so I'm sure you'll be the same way, because it makes you a better person, makes you a better mother, makes you, you know, a better grandmother. And so, I mean, eventually, now we have grandkids of our own, and that's just a new chapter of our life. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and watch them grow up and see what they can do.
Yeah.
Very good.
Pretty cool.
Great. Another question, Rachel?
I think sure. I have one more. You being so... Yeah. I know you mentioned before being able to go from different career paths and being successful in all of them. I kind of was wondering, what advice would you give to other people who want to be successful like you?
I think, you know, follow your dream. I think no matter what you want to do in life, my dad once told me, he said, you know, whatever you do, I don't care what you want to do, but just be the best at what you do, because you'll always be in demand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had an eighth grade education, but he was always a good dad. And he worked for the Ford Motor Company, was the president of the local union. But, you know, that was his way of telling me that being a good father and leave his legacy with me is just to keep striving to be better, be the best you can. And you're not always going to be perfect. You know, there's no perfect science. Nobody's perfect. So you're going to make mistakes, but you have to continue to improve. I learned that through the NFL. I learned that in business today as well. And in being a father too, I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But, you know, if you just look at the mistake and glare on the mistake and don't try to correct it, then it's just going to be worse. And so I think you need to reflect back but continue to strive for that. And I think that's what I think my advice would be for other people. It doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to shoot for the moon, if you fail, you'll still be amongst the stars. So, you know, go for it. And, you know, in this country, we're lucky today to have that opportunity from, you know, people who fought for us, for our freedom in wars, and my dad and others. I mean, I think that's something that we need to stand up for, because America is the greatest country in the world. And that's why a lot of people want to be here, because they can do whatever they want to do. I mean, you're not restricted. And, you know, the sky is the limit. So depends on how hard you want to work. And I always believed in hard work, and having a great work ethic is the vital thing that's going to make a player a great player or not a great player, is ability to work hard. You look at guys like Jerry Rice, who played in the NFL, who are Hall of Famers. The guy had an endless work ethic. He would work and work and work at his skill and perfect it and keep getting better, and never thought he was the best, but he always wanted to be even better. And so that's what I would maybe encourage people to do: respect one another and just work hard. And there's going to be ups and downs. And when you fall, just pick yourself up, dust yourself off and just keep going. Keep going. Don't stop.
That's good advice for optometry students, because you have to stay focused and, you know, stay strong. It's a challenging 4 years, Rachel.
I know. I felt like I needed that pep talk right now.
I wish I had that, because I thought about quitting in middle school a few times. But, you know, it's good to have that advice. It's really good.
Well, I think a lot of times, too, Alex, it comes from your heart. You know, if it's something that you really want to do, you know, just let your heart be the lead. You know, I mean, you know, there's going to be someone to help you and be there with you.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's just, you just got to keep, and like I say, you're not going to pass every exam or get high scores on every exam, but you know what, if you continue to work hard at it, you will do better and better. Yeah.
Right.
That's perfect advice for her right now.
Yeah. Oh, are you speaking just to me?
No, we're speaking to everybody, Rachel.
All our classmates too. It'll be good. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Dr. JD, anything else you want to add?
If you have to real quick, just add, did you have a favorite moment from your playing career?
Yeah, JD, I think the favorite moment, well, that's a good one. That's a really good question. It's the Super Bowl. It's got to be the Super Bowl, right? I mean, well, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, it was like, you know, you got to the – you're at the best, the highest you can go. But getting there was the challenge. And I think beating Dallas in Dallas when they had, you know, Tom Landry, the great coach, he was a – just a great strategizer. He could strategize and just win games just like Bill Belichick would today. Then they had the great quarterback and Roger Staubach, the great doomsday defense. I mean, they were awesome. The Pittsburgh Steelers were as good or better. I mean, they just had no weakness. And so to beat teams like Dallas and then Tampa Bay, we had a great defense and a great quarterback. It just, you know, it just made it worthwhile because – in the end, you know, some of those guys are my best friends. I mean, Doug Williams is one of my better friends that I've known over the years, and what a great guy he was. And you can tell a great athlete not because of his abilities on the field, but what type of person he really is off the field.
Right.
You look like a Russell Wilson right now. Russell Wilson, they say, is the best quarterback in the NFL. You know, I mean, he's right there at the top because of his – aspirations, because of what he means, because of the way he handles himself, you know, with people. There's so many great players, but I always think that there's more to sports. There's more to life. It's you know, what you're going to do for somebody else, how you're going to perceive them, how what kind of respect you're going to show and those kind of things. So, but the Dallas game was by far, and then this playing in the Super Bowl was, to me, I mean, what a great thrill to be there and go toe to toe to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, probably the best team ever played in the NFL. There's been great teams. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Green Bay Packers, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were great teams, and Pittsburgh Steelers of many years. But that era in this late 70s, they had no weakness. There was no weakness. They had 13 Hall of Famers on that team. I played with two Hall of Famers. I played with Jackie Slater and Jack Youngblood, two great players. And then later played, of course, Eric Dickerson. But in that year when we went to Super Bowl, we had two. They had 13. And then the coach was a Hall of Famer too. So that just shows you how good they were. They could beat you anyway. But and they found a way to beat us too when we were beating them in the fourth quarter. So, but yeah, great thrills. But I look back on my career as, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was some great thrills. I met some great people. I have some great friends as a result.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Do you want to wrap it up, Dr. Corbin?
Oh, no, I'm good. I just want to thank Vince, you know, for doing this for us. Doing so much for me and the community over all these years. And, you know, we look forward to more. What's, you know, all this quarantine stuff's over. We'll do more school visits and other cool activities together, Vince.
Sounds good. I look forward to it, Alex.
Love it. It's awesome.
Nice meeting you, Doctor.
Yeah.
Nice meeting you, Doctor. Nice meeting you, Rachel. And Alex, let's do it again.